What if the worst thing that ever happened to you was actually a doorway? Catherine May's personal collapse began on a blazing September afternoon. Her husband's burst appendix, her departure from university work, mysterious pain spreading through her own body. Within weeks, she found herself in that disorienting space where normal life continues around you while you've somehow fallen through a crack in reality. She calls this experience wintering. Those inevitable periods when illness, loss, failure, or exhaustion force us to the margins. We live in a culture obsessed with relentless growth and perpetual sunshine, yet wintering comes for everyone. The question isn't whether you'll face these dark seasons, but whether you'll recognize them as necessary transformations rather than personal failures. May's body delivered an ultimatum she couldn't ignore. Medical tests revealed she had the gut of a particularly self-neglectful 70-year-old. Her symptoms weren't imaginary. They were her body's rebellion against years of pushing through exhaustion. With legitimate medical permission to stop, she discovered unexpected relief. No more pretending everything was fine. She began the counterintuitive work of slowing down in a world that equates busyness with worth. She returned to her kitchen, braising lamb for hours, preparing fresh figs with morning porridge, making pumpkin soup that simmered until the house filled with warmth. These weren't just meals, but acts of resistance, choosing rhythmic handwork over constant productivity. Like animals preparing their dens, she gathered comforts, soft blankets, favorite books, candles that pushed back the darkness. She was learning what trees already know, that withdrawal isn't weakness, but wisdom. The Finnish word talvitellet means to be stowed away for winter. May's Finnish friend described preparations beginning in July, repairing houses, chopping firewood, foraging berries, baking for the freezer. This cultural acknowledgement of winter's inevitability offers what our denial-obsessed culture lacks, permission to prepare for hard times. Yet even Finland sees suicide rates spike in December and January. Darkness affects us all. May created her own rituals, rising at 5 to read in quiet morning light, taking hot baths with essential oils, walking slowly to school with her son to notice frost patterns and winter birds. She gave up alcohol, uncomfortable with how she'd used it to snuff out relentless days. These weren't grand gestures, but small, deliberate choices creating structure amid uncertainty. Walking along the River Stör, she noticed how frost revealed every blade of grass with exquisite detail, beauty invisible in other seasons. Winter strips away excess to show essential forms. The high tide transformed marshes into silvery seas. Amid unwelcome change lay abundance, if only she had eyes to see it. Trees demonstrate wisdom we've forgotten. As days shorten, they stop making food, and chlorophyll breaks down, revealing hidden colors. Leaves detach at abscission layers, precise cellular architecture that seals each breakpoint before release. This isn't death, but preparation. Next year's buds wait, protected by scales and natural antifreeze. The tree continues its quiet work, mulching the forest floor, drawing moisture, sheltering hibernating insects. May's friend Shelley embodied this transformation after falling into a coma from meningitis. She emerged unafraid of death, with renewed focus on what truly mattered. When May's 6-year-old son grew too anxious for school, overwhelmed by toxic classroom dynamics and curriculum demands, she made a radical choice. She refused to break him into submission. Together, they sank into healing. Beach play, library visits, making clay pirates, woodland walks. They howled through dark moments, raging and grieving and fearing. "We felt broken, but never so loved," May writes. At a trampolining center, another parent asked, "Are you a homeschooler too?" May discovered her son was one of hundreds flattened by school, and she one of hundreds who refused to force them back. This is winter's irresistible gift. When everything breaks, everything becomes possible. At winter solstice, May joined thousands at Stonehenge. Dreadlocked travelers, women in medieval gowns, a man in silver playing melodica. Hand drums and Tibetan singing bowls filled the air. Though clouds obscured sunrise, people embraced spontaneously. We have turned the year. This wasn't about controlling winter, but our response to it. Philip Kargom of the Order of Bards, Ovates, and Druids explained how ancient cultures celebrated the eightfold wheel of the year, marking time every 6 weeks with festivals honoring natural cycles. Modern society has abandoned these rhythms, leaving only Christmas in a vast empty stretch. We've become disconnected from the Earth's turning, no longer compelled to acknowledge lengthening days or celebrate seasonal transitions. Yet humans crave ritual and rhythm. We need to mark time's passage to gather in darkness and welcome returning light. May approached singing lessons with embarrassment, unable to hit clean notes after years of silence. Gradually, she regained clarity and volume, learning to fill her lungs and express the full range of human experience. Like the robin beginning its dawn chorus in deepest winter, we sing to demonstrate strength in adversity, or simply in hope of better times ahead. A year after leaving her job, May sorted through her office books. The guilt had vanished. She'd formed her abscission zone, that barrier allowing dead matter to fall away. Walking Pegwell Bay, she noticed winter retreating. Snowdrops lined paths, lime green catkins dangled from hazels, frozen marshes thawed. She wished for a neat ending, all problems solved, but truth remains messier. She still joked about moving into a caravan, often feeling just a footstep away from chaos. Alan Watts reminded her, "To hold your breath is to lose your breath. Life is fundamentally uncontrollable. Suffering comes from fighting this." Watching lapwings roll together at the sea's edge brought pure happiness, their extraordinary flow, their silent collective decisions. She stood completely absorbed in wonder. Our lives aren't linear, but cyclical. We pass through phases of health and illness, optimism and doubt, freedom and constraint. Each winter teaches something new. We who have wintered have learned that collapse isn't the end, but often the beginning. Rest isn't laziness. It's essential preparation for renewal. Community emerges when we stop pretending and start telling the truth about our struggles. Winter strips away what's unnecessary, revealing the essential architecture of our lives. What truly matters, who genuinely cares, what we can release without losing ourselves. Like trees shedding leaves to survive, we too must learn strategic letting go. The culture screams that stopping equals failure, that slowing down means falling behind, that winter is something to overcome rather than inhabit. But what if winter is exactly where transformation happens? What if the darkness isn't something to escape, but something to move through with intention? You will winter. It's not if, but when. And when that season arrives, through loss or illness, failure or heartbreak, remember, you're not broken, you're wintering. Let yourself stop, create your sanctuary, find your people who've wintered before, and when you emerge, as you will, pass on what you've learned. We sing it out like birds. We let our voices fill the air. Because the gift of winter isn't just survival, it's the wisdom we carry forward into spring.